this morning will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 13. 1 Corinthians 4, verses 8 through 13. And it reads, "Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and with that without us. How I wish that you all had already. I wish that you really had become kings so that we might be kings with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession. Like men condemned to die in the arena, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags, we are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world."
Hope the people on the front row don't get a crooked neck, you know, looking at me up here. I see all you well. Good to see you this morning. If we've engaged in the worship in spirit and in truth, then we've already had a good day. Just to be here, be with God's people, be encouraged, observe the Lord's Supper, learning some things about God's Word. I will have some personal remarks to make, but I'm going to save that for tonight. Also, many of you may know that I'm going to be preaching at Fairlawn this next week, beginning Thursday. So maybe I'll see some of you. I don't know how far that is from here, but maybe I'll see some of you over there. And it'll be on the emotions of a Christian. You might want to hear that. Emotions of a Christian. We've been talking here this week about Paul's writings to the Corinthians and how to solve problems and what he focused on in order to solve those problems. And we've looked at the focus that was on Christ, how he was the foundation of everything. Other foundation can no man lay than that which was laid, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. And that was the total focus of the preaching that was done in the book of Acts, was upon Jesus and his death, burial, resurrection, his authority. And that was the guiding light of the Apostle Paul, because he was converted on the way to Damascus. And Christ appeared unto him. And he was qualified to be an apostle. One born out of due season, as Paul would put it. And Christ was the entire focus of his life. He said, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." And his past life, he could have about anything he wanted among the Jews, because he had the education, he had the bloodline, he had everything. But he said, "I count that as garbage in order that I may know Christ, that I may share in his sufferings." And he sure did. We just had a reading of you about the apostles. And they were the pioneers, by the way, of our faith. And without them, Christianity would not have gotten off the ground. And so this was the goal of Paul, that I may share in the sufferings and attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So he pointed out three things there that he wanted. He said, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Christ. So Christ becomes the real focus. And tonight we're going to talk about that by looking at the writings of Peter. We're going to go to 1 Peter. And you're going to open your Bibles up and we're going to look at how Christ is our example, that we should follow in His footsteps. And then we're going to go back from that and forward, back and forth, as it applies to every situation in life. So we're going to look at what Peter had to say about that. Well, in my comments this morning, I'm going to focus on apostolic authority, because I believe this is something that is so important for us to understand. Because our faith comes and we do see Christ. We see Christ by faith, is the song that we sing. But our faith comes through the testimony of the apostles. Remember, Christ got on Thomas a little bit because he wanted to actually reach and see with the prints in his hands and in his side. And he said, but blessed are those who do not see but believe. And that's you and I. That's the Corinthians also. They didn't actually see Jesus. And Jesus prayed in the garden. And he prayed for his apostles. And then he said, I pray on those who will believe on me through their word. John 17. And so, the church was established. They talked about this morning when this church was established, you know, a certain point in time. It wasn't 33 A.D. or 30 A.D. It was established when this church was established. And the church at Corinth was established a certain time on Paul's second missionary journey. And he's the one that brought the gospel to them in the first place. And the reason we have so much about apostles in Paul's writing to the Corinthians is because his apostleship was challenged. There were those that said he was not a true apostle. And they were undermining what he had to say. And so, therefore, we have a lot of material about what it is to be an apostle in that epistle, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. And there are those that claim to be apostles, and he said they were are false apostles. And there's a lot of false apostles in that day and time. In Revelation chapter 2, concerning the church at Ephesus, there are those who call themselves apostles and were not. And he said, you exposed them. And so, we're dealing with authority here. Because they were to be the witnesses of God. They were to be the eyewitnesses. I am not an eyewitness. You are not an eyewitness. But the apostles were eyewitnesses of the life of Christ, of His death, burial, resurrection. And in 1 John, it starts out by John saying, we saw Him, we handled Him, tasted whatever, we are eyewitnesses. And he says, I'm writing to you that you also may have fellowship, the same fellowship that we have with Jesus Christ, that you may have fellowship. But it's based upon the fact of what John wrote, that we are as eyewitnesses. In Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus talking to his apostles, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the remotest parts of the earth. And that's the whole book of Acts, dealing with the history of the book of Acts. We know that they receive power from on high. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And that was Jerusalem. That's where they were to go and stay until they received the power from on high. And in Acts 2, in verses 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributing themselves, and as they rested on each one of them. This was not the 120. This was the apostles. The context goes back to the chapter before. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterances. But these promises were made especially to the apostles. In John 14, verse 26, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. There would be a Helper that they would receive. And this Helper, in other places in the New Testament, says that don't worry, you're going to be put on trial. You're going to come before rulers and judges and so forth. Do not be anxious. Yeah. Before Caesar. Before King Agrippa. Don't be anxious, because at that very time it will be given to you what you are to say and how you say it. How would you like to have a counselor with you there like that? Boy, and that's what they had. They had this powerful counselor, the Holy Spirit, and even told them how to put it, how to say it, and what to say. And so that was tremendous. In John 16, verse 13 through 15, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will disclose to you what is to come. And He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it to you. And where did Jesus get what He had? From the Father. We have a link of authority here. Jesus said, all authority has been given to Me. Who gave it to Him? The Father. And so you have the link of authority, the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit, the apostles. And so they were not a loose cannon. The apostles were not a loose cannon. They could teach what the Holy Spirit gave them to teach. And that alone. And He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and disclose it to you. And all things that the Father has are Mine, therefore I said that He takes of Mine and discloses it to you. It's really interesting to see the growth of the apostles from the time of selection. And they started with Him. A lot of them come from disciples of John the Baptist, actually, early. And they began to follow Jesus. But there's a lot of things they didn't know. And they even rebuked the Lord a few times. And, Lord, don't you know you offended those people? And in Matthew, the 15th chapter. And He said, you leave them alone. He said, they're blind guides. They're blind guides that guide the blind. Don't worry about it. Well, as you look at the early history of the apostles, they didn't seem to have that much courage in a way. And when Jesus said to them on several occasions that I'm going to be rejected by the Jews and I'm going to suffer and be crucified and on the third day I will be raised from the dead, they didn't believe him. Even Peter tried to rebuke him. No, no, it's not going to happen to you. Yes, it will. Get behind me, Satan. Yes, it will happen to me. They didn't understand. They didn't understand a lot of things, you see. But, and even at the cross, well, that's where Peter denied him 3 times, you remember. And when they come to arrest him, Peter was willing to give his life right there, I believe. He took out his sword. And he used it. The servant of the priest. And he ducked and took his ear off. And Jesus put his ear back. He healed him. And he said, put your sword away. Those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. But Peter was brave. But you know, a little bit later, he denied the Lord 3 times. And Christ told him that he would. And he said, no, if all the others deny you, he threw all the others under the bus. See, I will never deny you. Yeah, he denied him 3 times. And we know the story. But I tell you what, when the day of Pentecost came, they were courageous men. They had to stand before a Jewish audience. And there was 3,000 that responded to the preaching of Peter, but there was a lot more than 3,000 in that audience. And how would you like to tell a Jewish audience that you're guilty of killing the Messiah? Would that take a little courage, you think? I think it'd take a lot of courage to tell that audience that they were guilty of murdering the Messiah, the one that they were looking forward to coming. Well, I know they had some misconceptions about the Messiah, didn't they? Because they never tied together Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, with the Messiah. The Messiah would not suffer. He would reign on David's throne. They would overcome all of their enemies, including the Romans. And there'd be a great kingdom. That's what they had in mind. Jesus did not fit that. And they had misconceptions. But the sermon on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, what Peter and the 11 talked about was Jesus, the Messiah. And they proved it. They proved it by quoting Scripture in the Old Testament. They proved it by saying, we are eyewitnesses of His resurrection because the tomb could not hold Him. That's an amazing story, isn't it? The tomb. And how Jesus was raised from the dead and they frightened the soldiers to death. And they had to be bribed to tell a false story about what happened. Well, they knew what happened. But they were given a large sum of money by the Jews because it is not to get out. Except this, while we were sleeping, someone stole the body of Jesus. Who would believe that, right? But that's the story, and they're sticking to it. And they did. But anyway, what happened on the day of Pentecost is what you see in here is what is written in Joel chapter 2. And I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. And see, everything that was happening there was because of Christ, and He was raised from the dead. He was living, and they were bearing witness of that. And they said, this Jesus whom you have crucified has been made both Lord and Christ. It stunned the audience, that information. And it says it cut them to the heart. It cut their hearts. They cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, we're going to talk about the apostles because people say, well, you have living apostles? You know, some people say, if you don't have living apostles, then you can't be the true church. Yeah, we have apostles. The same way that Jesus talked about Moses. And Jesus said, Moses bears witness of me. And they had Moses. But he was dead. He was dead for quite a few years. And yet they still followed Moses. Well, the apostles have been dead. Yeah, they've been dead for a long time. But we have their word, just like Moses wrote, and they have Moses' word, and we have the apostles. Oh, we don't know a lot about the apostles, except especially of Paul and Peter, the main ones that we know about. But God put them in a very special place to be an eyewitness of the resurrection. And there were more eyewitnesses. In 1 Corinthians 15, it talks about 500 at one time were eyewitnesses. The women were eyewitnesses. And we have all these appearances of Jesus that he made while he was still upon the earth. And he taught his apostles 40 days before he ascended into heaven. And they waited 10 more days for this special day when they would receive the Holy Spirit. And they would be able to preach the resurrected Christ. They were God's special ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verses 18 through 21. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God through him. Ephesians 3, verses 3 through 5, Paul wrote that by revelation there was made known to us the mystery, as I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, we can do the same thing they did, the Ephesians did. Because Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, when you read what I wrote, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Well, I don't think we're dumber than they were, you think? I think if they could understand what he wrote, we can understand what he wrote, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. In 2 Peter 3, verse 2, talking to the people, writing to Christians, that you should remember the words spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. So you got the holy prophets, Old Testament, and you got that which was spoken by the apostles. And the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles. In 1 Corinthians 12, verses 28, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and so forth. And I believe when we study that, we find that miracles had to do with gifts of tongues, gift of prophecy. In fact, the church of Corinth had all kinds of miracles. They had this miracle-working power. And I believe it was given them by the apostles. Now, sometimes people focus on the miracles themselves, you know, and they claim even today to have tongue speaking and all these, and they can heal, and I can tell you a lot of stories about that. Anyway, people make all kinds of claims, right? Well, they had it, and they had these gifts, But that didn't make them faithful. Sometimes people say if you have these gifts, then that is the ultimate. That is what will make you faithful. It didn't make the Corinthians faithful, by the way, and it took a writing of the Apostle Paul to straighten them out and tell them how to use their gifts. And so that's kind of interesting, too, that here's the authority of an apostle. And he said, you know that I'm an apostle, and that he had the evidence of apostle, that is, he has the gifts. And he could bestow hands on people and give others the gifts. He wrote to the Roman Christians, he had not seen them, but he wanted to come to them in Romans chapter 1 that he might impart some gift to them. Because that's the way they receive gifts. And they didn't have the New Testament, you know. So the church in its early days did need these gifts, the gift of prophecy and so forth, because they didn't have the New Testament. And until it was finally completed, until all of it was revealed, finally, and so we can read and we can understand that. You know, the early disciples, it's interesting in Acts chapter 2, back to the beginning. You know, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And they were told, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And so, they that received His word, Acts 2, verse 41, were baptized, and there were added in that day 3,000 souls. What did they follow? It said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Isn't that right? Verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. And that is no different than what Peter said. Do not go onward. There are those that go onward that do not abide in the doctrine of Christ. Do not have God. That simply means teaching. If you look at how the word doctrine is used, there was the doctrine of the Pharisees. That was their teaching. The doctrine of Christ is His teaching. It's not just death, burial, and resurrection. Some people say it's very limited there, but it's His teaching. And His teaching was the apostles' doctrine because they received their authority from Jesus Christ. And this is the way we're told when the letters went out to the churches and so forth as to how they conduct themselves and how they are to live, because they were carrying out the second part of the Great Commission, teaching the disciples to observe all things whatsoever God, the Lord has commanded. So that's what they were doing. Isn't it amazing how all the epistles start out, almost without exception, the same way? You ever think about that? Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 1. Paul, called an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother. Every place it emphasizes apostle. Why? Because this epistle carries authority. It carries weight. And that's why they did that. 2 Corinthians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Galatians 1:1. Paul, an apostle, not sent from men through the agency of man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. I got my authority directly from Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. and Timothy, our brother. 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the commandment of God. 2 Timothy 1:1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, on and off. Why is that emphasized? It's emphasized for one very simple reason. What the apostles was the will of God. It was the authority of Jesus Christ and what they wrote. You know, some people think, well, you got to go by the red letter edition of the Bible. You know, the red letter is what Jesus said. And what Jesus said, you know, that's really important. But what these other men wrote, they weren't Jesus. Yeah, they had the authority of Jesus. In fact, they went further than what Jesus did because they were going to be guided into all truth. There's a lot of things that Jesus wanted to teach while he was upon earth he could not teach. The world was not ready, for one thing. And could not be taught with the same power and authority until after the resurrection. And so he sent the apostles out, and they were to do this. Well, so many things. You know, in the early church, going back to the church of Jerusalem, because some people think, well, in the church of Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, and these gifts were poured out upon everybody there, the 120, and everybody. No, the apostles. Who were the leaders of the church at Jerusalem? The apostles. Who performed miracles in the church at Jerusalem for a long time? Until finally we have others that perform miracles later. It was the apostles. Through the hands of the apostles, these miracles were taking place. Who was put in prison? Well, it was the leaders. And who were they? The apostles. Peter and John, first of all, were put in prison. And later on, all the apostles were put into prison. You know why? Because they were the ones doing the teaching. And they were the ones in the temple. And they had the authority. And so we see that focus was really upon them. Well, you know what? Our time is getting away. But I'm just trying to emphasize that when Paul addresses the church at Corinth, and I wish we had some lessons to show how he solved every problem in the Corinthians had. Every one. There are about 10 you can enumerate. By going back to basics, to fundamentals, and applying them to the problem. No matter what it was. And if we had time, we could just do that. But the point is, that's the way we solve our problems today. We go back to the fundamentals. We go back to the authority and how we address things. And how we treat each other. We go back to the fundamentals, how we live before God, how we are to even engage in a discipline. See, that was a big problem at Corinth, is church discipline. So no matter what you name, and that's really the point I'm trying to make here, that you go back to the original foundation, the original authority. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, for example, they did not, in the second chapter, they did not receive it as the word of men, but the word of God. That is what Paul taught them. He founded the church there as well. And they received it as the word of God. And that was a good thing. That's what should have happened to them. Well, I'm going to stop it there. I think you understand that everything has to be focused on Christ, and then Christ has spoken to us through His apostles, and they wrote these things down so that we can read and we can understand. and we can solve problems, and we can know how we are to live. And that's the main focus. Authority is everything. Authority is not something that we laugh at or whatever. Oh, we can just do it our way. We just do it any old way, you know. We can organize the church any way we want to. I mean, that's what difference, as long as we're, you know, trying to do the right thing. And we can have our worship any time think way we want to, as long as we're trying to do the right thing and serve God. That's the way most people look at it. No, we need to honor God. He has the wisdom. He has the plan. And His way always works. And it works in terms of salvation too, because that's why Christ came, to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we need to listen to Him. If we want to be saved, then we listen to Him, just like the early church listened to the apostles. And we're willing to turn their lives over to Christ. Repent. Repent. Change the way that you look at life and turn to God. Repent and be baptized for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that has to do with salvation, by the way. Anyway, we don't have time to talk about all that. But that is the answer. And we have a song we're going to sing now, a song of invitation for anyone that needs to make this great change in your life, just like they did. See, I believe we're saved the same way. It hasn't changed in 2,000 years. It's the same. It's clear. It's the same message. So anyone that needs to respond to the gospel, come now as we stand and sing this song.